Welcome to Song Creating on Radio St. Pete Sunshine 96.7 FM. Join us as we celebrate the sparks that ignite, the events that inspire, and the songwriters that create. With your host, Steve Robb.
Wisconsin-raised and now Florida-based singer-songwriter Marlo Hauer has been singing since she was 3 years old, but hadn't really performed professionally until she hit 50. The time she lived in between those two points fuels her lyrics, her own life experiences, and those around her. Teaming with Mark Mingus, Marlo and Mark have released two CDs in just the past 3 years. So Marlo Hauer, welcome to Song Creating.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, and I'm sorry that Mark couldn't make it today.
Well, so are we, but that's okay. We've got Marlo, and we'll take it. I am curious about your Wisconsin upbringing. Were you out in the sticks, dairy country, or whereabouts?
So actually, I grew up in the city. I'm a city girl, and I grew up in Milwaukee. And I went to the traditional high school, and I grew up taking the city bus. My husband, he grew up out in the sticks. He didn't have that city experience like I did. But I loved it.
He grew up in Wisconsin also.
He did. He actually grew up in a suburb. But yeah, I was right in the city, and you know, where you walked everywhere and you took the city bus everywhere, and everything was close by. I loved that growing up.
Yeah. I do know Milwaukee, and it's a beautiful town, and the waterfront is just gorgeous.
Absolutely.
It's just nothing but park there, and it really is pretty. It's very accessible. It's not that big a city, and it really is great. So did you two meet while you were both living out there as kids?
No, we met when we were, oh gosh, right out of high school, actually.
Okay.
Playing darts one night, we ran into each other and we connected, and gosh, it'll be our 30-year anniversary this next May. So we've been together a long time.
So was this playing darts in one of those classic Wisconsin bars, drinking Heilman's Old Style?
You bet. Because that's all you can afford when you're a kid. So yes.
So what's the music scene like in Milwaukee? I'm trying to picture it. It's not something you hear about too much.
Well, you do actually. Summerfest, come on.
Oh God, that's right. Summerfest is terrific. Yeah,
it's
I guess I'm meaning more the local music scene.
So believe it or not, I didn't focus on the music scene when I was growing up. I was not really involved in music at all, other than I sang around the house and I sang for family. I really was not involved in the music scene while I was.
Not so what about singing in church or high school, things like that?
I was terrified as a youth, and I could not imagine standing up in front of people and singing. I was not confident enough for that. No, I didn't do it.
So really just in your own house?
In my own house,
or
sometimes
wherever,
in the grocery store, places I didn't know people.
What were you doing at the time? What was your...
Well, I'm actually a massage therapist or a neuromuscular therapist by trade. So, other than taking some traditional classes at the local colleges and trying to figure out, like every child at that age, what the heck am I going to do for the rest of my life? I found that I was very much a body mechanics girl. I love the science of that. So that's the direction I headed off into.
And you meet some interesting people doing that, because there is a little bit of conversing going on.
There is. And honestly, there not only is a medical approach, which was the one I really enjoyed, very traditional, chiropractic, all of those things go in line, but there's the spiritual approach too. And that doesn't appeal to everybody. So you almost have to adjust your approach with every appointment. So you really have to get to know people pretty quickly, read them very well from the beginning.
And be flexible yourself as
Absolutely.
To how you, So this is that whole living in between time now, between 3 and 50, we're talking about where you kind of, you gathered all of this information and fuel to start writing. Were you writing as a kid, poetry, I did, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I did actually dabble in poetry throughout my high school years. But again, I was very shy, so I kept everything private. And I didn't really feel the need to share it. It was just the way I expressed myself. Mm-hmm. And again, I did sing at home for myself.
Yeah. Did you, do you still have some of the written poetry?
Yeah.
You
know,
your
do.
Books?
Do you? I do.
Anything handy right there that you might happen to draw
no.
from?
No.
Oh,
I'm
come
sorry.
On.
It's all packed away. And I'm not that person anymore. Come on.
Well, that's true. No, you still are. You still are somewhat. I still have a notebook. I wrote down all my song lyrics from high school and college, and some of it faded, and I can't remember what, and it's killing me because not that they were really anything all that great, but it was I'm looking at it going, I can't remember these lyrics, and gee, maybe there was something there, but probably not, but it's still as fun to go back and play those old songs. You and I talked briefly before. I actually spent my high school years in Wisconsin, right outside Milwaukee. And I really got introduced to a lot of not local music, but I moved there from Schenectady, New York, when I was playing hard rock with a junior high rock band. And then I moved to Wisconsin and for various reasons, didn't really get connected with a quote unquote rock band and started playing more acoustic music. And when I hear like Dan Fogelberg or some of this music that really comes out of the woods, you know, there's a natural element feeling to it. Remember Wildfire by Michael Murphy? He keeps calling Wildfire. You know, yes. It's about some horse. And I remember going out to Colorado from Wisconsin because it was an easy trip. And that was like such a song on the range, you know. So a lot of that music tended to come to me at the time. It was such a life change for me to move from New York to Wisconsin.
Oh, I bet.
I don't know. I look fondly upon those years as a time where I think the Midwest has its own certain appeal. People are friendly, you know, people, you know, they say that it's almost trite to say that, but, I don't know. It's just something different out there.
I find that everywhere that I visit, it has a different vibe and it's really easy to pick up on as you get older. You're more in tune to it.
You don't always want to pick up on it. Sometimes.
Well, so true. Well, sometimes you pick up and you leave.
That's true, too. That's right. So tell us a little bit more of this living in between, which I think is a kind of a neat little or a neat little phrase, from all the way up to the age of 50. Now, the song we're going to talk about really has a lot to do with this whole process for you, I think, too, as far as kind of finding yourself. And we'll get to that a little bit later. Give me a little bit of your musical biography as to how you ended up becoming the Marlo Hauer of Marlo and Mike. I mean, this is actually
Marlo and Mark.
Oh, pardon me. Marlo and Mark.
So my story, it's funny. It's to me, it's very simple. I grew up in a working class household. Luxury was music. Okay. My parents could not afford voice lessons or music lessons. And it just wasn't something that we could do, even though I felt like that was the direction at a young age I wanted to go. It was considered frivolous. And I don't mean that in a bad way. My father was a really strong man. He wanted me to be a strong woman. So he encouraged a more traditional route. And I'm glad for that, actually, because maybe I wouldn't have been maybe I wouldn't be the person that I am today without that guidance. And maybe I wouldn't have handled being a musician so well early. I see what happens to some of these young kids, and it's a little frightening. So I really followed a very traditional route. I did school and, as I said, neuromuscular therapy, which I loved that career. I really did not do much with music until, I was about 19, I think. And I I thought to myself, I'm going to try and pursue some vocal lessons now that I'm working and I can afford them myself. And so I found this, this vocal coach down in Milwaukee on the east side of Milwaukee. She lived in a real cool old building, neat lady, Adele. I loved her. She was an old opera singer. And I loved opera after listening to her. I felt like there was so much there, the power in your voice. And she encouraged me to sing in different languages because she wanted me to not focus so much on technique, but focus on connecting to the emotion in the song. And that is something I've never forgotten. That advice was gold. And so I did that for a while until I couldn't afford it anymore. And another funny part of that story was I would go to her little apartment and I wasn't her only student. And she pointed out to me one day that she felt like I brought a better performance, when I followed a very strong singer that she had in. So from that point on, she would always schedule my lesson after a strong singer because she felt like somehow it helped me connect better. Yeah. So I did that for a while, probably not real long, actually, maybe a year. And then, you know, life gets in the way. I was in my early 20s and, you know, you're trying to make a living and find your own way. So I set it all aside, ended up getting married to my husband, Keith, and continued my career until we had children. And then that was my job.
Sure.
So again, it wasn't about me anymore. And of course I would sing around the house and we'd have nights when the boys were young. We would have theme nights, one, you know, library night. And one was, we'd take turns cooking dinner together. And one night was, do you remember the show Fear Factor on TV?
Oh, sure.
Okay. So we had a Fear Factor night and one night was American Idol. And this was as they were getting a little bit older and American Idol first came out. And the boys would say, oh, Mom, please try out for American Idol. You need to try out for American Idol. And I would say, no, you're my job. I don't want to do that. And really, I didn't want them to know that it was all because I was terrified. I would never stand up in front of people and sing. Yeah. So again, I just brushed that away and raised my boys. And so, you know, besides a little bit of singing here and there while family was around or in the grocery store where I didn't know anyone and I couldn't feel judged, it began and ended there. I really never even thought of myself performing.
Huh. I want to touch on something you said earlier about your childhood in your household, and you said luxury was music. Now, I'm curious how I should be taking that. Was music a luxury, or was luxury, in other words, was it a luxury to have music, or was music the luxury you could afford?
It was a luxury we couldn't afford. I mean, other than the radio, okay. my parents felt like it was just not a direction that they could afford to encourage any of their children in. And actually my sister and my brother both sing as well. And my brother is a great writer. So the arts was in our blood. I just don't know why my parents didn't encourage it.
Well, it is like free entertainment. And I can tell you that my parents didn't encourage my musical career either.
Sure.
I've mentioned, I think maybe more than once on this podcast that they, you know, for good reason, I think.
Sure.
They probably heard me play and went, nah, he doesn't have that much talent. Who knows? You know, we all go into something that is just part of that path, and it leads somewhere. So how old are your kids now?
Oh, gosh. Let's see, 27 and 25.
Okay. Are they not involved in music, I take it, or...
Well, actually, they're a good mix between Keith and I. My husband's a financial advisor, and so both of my boys online trade.
Okay.
So that's what they do for business. But my eldest son he is quite a writer as well. He can sing and he can write. But
when
it's
you
just
say writer, you mean songwriter?
He is a songwriter. Yes. Great. Yes. He keeps it to himself. Mm-hmm. It's not the career path he's choosing, but he does it for enjoyment. And it was funny because for a while, my younger son was dating a singer. And I said, oh my gosh, you're dating your mother. Oh. And that was the end of that.
Dropped her like a...
yep, that was it.
Dropped
over.
Her like a hot mic, right?
Exactly.
So what is it? And your son, I'm going to guess is just waiting for whether he's actually waiting or not. All it takes is one affirmation of his songwriting or his performance ability to probably get him past that little hump so he can go out and actually perform. And what was that? What was that? Was it an affirmation of your own that finally got you out in public? Or what happened?
It's interesting because I never even thought of it until we bought a home in Florida in this little town. And I was laughing one afternoon. I said, okay, we've been here for a few months. And I spent the first few months going to the pool because all of us were transplants. Mm. No one knew. This town just started in 2007. No one knew anyone. We all came from somewhere else. And I needed to establish some friendships and some relationships because we had decided we really loved this new town. So I was going to the pool every day, trying to meet people. And I had met quite a few people and really enjoyed the new friendships I was making. But I came home and I said to my husband, I can't just go to the pool every day. That can't be my new life. I have more to give than that. I mean, there's just more to me than going to the pool every day. You know, I need to volunteer. I need to do something. And that very day, an email came out to the community. A local band within the community was searching for, well, at the time, I didn't know they were searching for a singer, but they were hosting a vocal competition. And I took a deep breath and I said to my husband, you know what? I'm trying out for this. And so I replied immediately that I was trying out and then, of course, had the instant regret. What did I do? What have I done? Because I immediately was consumed with that terrifying sure. feeling. Like, how many people are coming to the show? I never asked that. What am I going to sing? I've never sang with live music before. I sing along with the radio. There's already a voice there. I've never done it on my own. I can't read music. That's another little tidbit of information. I can't read music. How do I do this? And so I thought about it all night and I said, you know what? I'm going to let all of that go. I am almost 50. How long am I going to let fear control me? I don't think I'm going to do that anymore. And so every day I would wake up and say, you can do this. And guess what? If you can't, no one, you know, I could still put food on the table if I need to. Nothing, you know, I've got nothing to lose. So that competition, that was where I met Mark. And he said, you know, we like to first have people come over and do a little performance with us before they get up in front of people, which I greatly appreciated. So he asked me which song I wanted to sing because we were able to pick our own. And I love Edie Brickell. She's quirky. I identify with that. I'm a little quirky. And I love her storytelling ability. I love the gestures she makes when she's singing. I felt like I connected to that. So I chose What I Am. And he said, wow, that's really a brave choice. Are you sure you can sing that? I said, well, I don't know. Let's try it. So
I've had opera training
for less than a year. So I went over to Mark's house. He had learned how to play the acoustic supporting version of it. And I sang. And that very night, he called me back and he said, listen, I really loved your audition. I'm excited for you to be a part of this competition, but I want to ask you something else. I'd like for you to consider joining the band. And I said, okay. You know, of course I was shocked. I thought, wow, somebody thinks I can sing besides my family. Yay. I'm doing something right. And I said, well, I guess I really want to know what we're talking about here. Like, what kind of commitment is this? I don't want to get in over my head. I'm just starting to enjoy retirement a little bit. And mm-hmm. he said, well, I don't know. We'll play out a few times a month. And I said, okay, well, play out meaning like out where? What kind of venues are we talking about here? How many people? And he said, well, we'll start out locally. We'll just play for the town and some of the local restaurants and bars, and we'll see how it goes. And so I said, well, you know, I'd like a little time to think about that. And I came home and I talked with my husband about it. And I said, you know, I think this is an opportunity that I don't want to miss. So I'm going to say yes, but I'm also going to say yes with some rules. I don't want this to be every weekend of my life because my husband and I are jet skiers sure. and boaters and we love the water and, yep. and my husband pickleballs. So, which is a big thing in Florida. And I wanted to have time for all of those things that I love. Mm-hmm. So luckily all the band members at the time were fine with that because they also had their own lives. Mm-hmm. So it worked out really well. So that was my drop right into music. I just dropped right in.
Wow. But you got that affirmation.
I did. I think it was just in that moment where I took a deep breath and I said, you know what? It's time for me. My kids That's are gone.
Great. Yeah.
So Good yeah, I'm lucky that I had that opportunity, really.
So it all worked out the way that I think you said it was about 7 years ago.
Late 2017.
Okay. So are you still playing with this band?
No, actually the band only lasted about 6 months during that
I'm
time.
I'm shocked.
I know. I said, how do bands ever stay together? I couldn't believe it. This actually, we separated for different reasons than the typical reasons. Usually it's all the personalities and that wasn't a problem. I had these amazing mentors in this band. Everybody mm-hmm. helped me. That was not the reason. The reason was actually Mark and I had been talking about writing our own music. He discovered I wrote poetry early on and he asked if I thought I could write lyrics. And I, at this point I was like, well, I just started singing in public. Why can't I try writing my own music? At this point, there's no stopping me. So I agreed to attempt it. And pretty quickly we discovered that I could write the lyrics and he could fit my vibe with music. And so we branched off to become a duo.
Okay.
So we were having fun as a band, but I didn't know how. I can't compose music, so I didn't know how. You know, I couldn't score mm-hmm. things. All these words I didn't even know back then. I didn't know how to bring in other members to play that music, and I just felt like that was too complicated for me.
Yeah.
So
well, you're pretty new to this.
I still feel like I'm pretty new.
And there are a lot of levels and a lot of layers that that go into all of that. So you had a good mentor with Mark. And now with the other members of the band, there was no jealousy
not at all.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
We're still all friends, and most of them still live in this community. So I see them often.
That's great. Well, there are so many bands comprised of over 50 or even over 60 members.
Right.
It's just, I had a band called Midlife Crisis, and there's so many bands called Midlife Crisis throughout the country. We actually thought we could like franchise this thing and, you know, book Midlife Crisis bands everywhere and take a cut, which had never actually happened. But one time my dad saw the band Midlife Crisis playing in Schenectady. He sends me the ad. Says, is this you? I go, no, Dad, we're really not. We don't play beyond our little town very much, but it's so much fun. It's just such a blast.
And, I will tell you, our band's name was Bed by Nine because we live in a retirement community, but there is another band, Bed by Nine. So when Mark and I went off on our own trying to find Well, before we were Marlo and Mark, we were trying to find an actual duo name. And after about 150 tries and discovering that almost everything is used, we thought, you know what, let's just keep it simple. We can't get sued for our own names, right?
Right. You're listening to Song Creating on Radio St. Pete, Sunshine 96.7 FM.
Place where together we made the most beautiful life. You were happy then, I was happy then. We had land in the woods that looked over the lake, where our hopes came to life and our dreams took stake. We built a house and we filled it with family and friends, so together we could live our best life. Oh, it was the best life. And the kids were all wild, they forged bonds made to last. 4 years had transpired just as we desired, and our home filled with laughter and joy and so much love. You were happy then, I was happy then. The fires in the pit could be seen up to Mars. There were races to catch the most fireflies in jars. All of these moments forever etched in our minds. You were happy then. We were happy then. To a new foreign land, where the people come together and offer their hands. Before you know it, your family has grown in the blink of an eye. We are happy now. We are happy now. And we're as happy now in a new kind of way. No longer sad to say goodbye to those good old days, or to the place where our lives truly began. We are as happy now as we were back then. We are as happy now as we were back.
Welcome back to Song Creating. We're here with Marlo Hauer, who currently resides in Ave Maria, Florida. And before we jump into this song, which is called We Are Happy Now, I want to know, you are dry now? Did you guys all survive this crazy hurricane that came through?
We actually did. Thank you for asking. Unfortunately, our coastal friends, not so much.
No.
There's a lot of devastation. Actually, I am a little bit sick. I'm suffering from some nasal issues, and I think it might be from all of the mold that's in the air. But yes, we survived with just a little bit of wind in inland. We didn't even have a lot of rain, but the coast is just a mess.
Yeah.
It's really sad. Very heartbreaking.
Well, you were in that general area, though, aren't you? South around Fort Myers and Naples?
So we're inland of Naples, and luckily far enough inland that we don't have to worry about storm surges. We're not in a flood zone.
Okay.
So we missed all of that.
Okay. And you missed the rain, too. That's good.
Yeah.
Boy. Yeah. It is devastating down there. It's almost like, I remember being in Manhattan after 9/11, and for years, that was just... that was just so on top of people's minds, and rightfully so. And I think this is going to be quite a number of years before everything gets back to some semblance of normal down there. If you can ever call Florida really normal, I'm not so sure it is.
They are saying about 2 years before the beaches are open again.
Wow. So that is something else.
It will definitely affect the tourist season this year.
Yeah. Boy. Wow. So your song, We Are Happy Now, is very biographical, and you do write a lot from experience. Other songs of yours are kind of following that same path to creation. I guess that's going. Have you written a song about massage therapy?
I have not.
Don't name names when you do.
No names, right?
Tell us a little bit about this. Now, and I want to find out, you know, did Keith approve all this too? And did he write anything? Because he's a, what would we say? He's a prime suspect or subject in this.
Keith actually was the subject of a few of my songs. I always tell the people around me, be careful what you say, because I am always listening. And I never know what is going to spark the next song. So a lot of my songs are stories about people's lives, of things that I've picked up at the pool or while having a conversation or just being in the background somewhere. So yes, I always say my love stories are about my husband, and I've got a few of them.
Oh, that's so nice.
One of them is about him being a slow learner. taking 6 years to ask me to be his wife.
Oh, geez. Okay. I won't say anything about you having to wait till you're 50 to finally start singing. Right. Talk about slow learners here.
I know. That's why we get along so well.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, 6 years of dating. Wow.
I know.
Wow.
Okay. So, yes, all of my lyrics and my songs are either inspired by my own experiences or those around me, which I guess everybody's are, right?
Now, the ladies at the pool, though, come on, there's got to be some really great songs coming out of this, right?
Well, a love song. I have a love song, Barely 17. It's about a girl that I met at the pool, a girlfriend of mine, and how she fell in love at 17 with her current husband, and they've been married ever since, and their journey through life. And it's so, I mean, every time I sing one of my songs, I can picture exactly what I'm talking about. The story, the moment I got the inspiration and how I put things together in my head. There's a lot going on up here.
Well, you seem to be a happy person. Where, you know, it's all about your life's transition the last decade or so, or whatever the period was. Tell me a little bit about that.
So to me, We Are Happy Now is really about finding that happy in every part of your journey, because we all go through a journey, and it's different for all of us, but we still all go through a journey. So this particular song, gosh, and again, when I talk about it, I can just picture all of those memories that fueled it. My husband and I both grew up very close to our families and our extended families. And so when we blended together, our families also blended together. And when we started having children, the one thing, because you don't know a lot when you're young and you're starting a family, you don't know a lot. The one thing we knew was that we wanted to really impress upon our kids the importance of those relationships with your family, what they mean. They last forever, that undying love and respect for one another. And so we worked really hard at that. And we were some of the first to have kids on Keith's side. He's a family of six. I had three. I'm the baby on my side. So mine were the last ones. Mm. So it was a challenge in both directions, because you're coming at it from different areas. Mine were the youngest on this side and the oldest on this side. But we really made an effort to have a lot of family gatherings. We started out with the smallest home, and we didn't care. We'd say, you know what, everybody just come over and we'll host all the family gatherings. And
you mean tailgating for Packer games?
Of course.
Of course.
We still do that in Florida.
I was going to ask. I'll bet you found that Packer bar.
Yes. Now I have to say I give the Bucks a little attention too, but.
Okay.
I mean,
anyway, I'm sorry, but I interrupted you. I couldn't help it.
That's okay. I know. I am a Packer fan, so I have no problem with that interruption. So we really wanted to help forge those relationships with their cousins on both sides. And my husband always wanted a lake home. So we found this property in the middle of, I don't know if you're familiar with Wisconsin Dells. It's a big attraction.
Oh, yeah.
So they have the fourth largest lake is called Castle Rock. We found a plot of land when my kids were young on Castle Rock. And we said, you know what, we're building our lake house here. And at that point, we thought it was our retirement home. Mm-hmm. We were starting early. So we started designing this home with our builders up there. And of course, taking everybody into consideration. How big our families were. Next thing you know, this house was larger than the house we lived in. And so we said, okay, we've got to tone it down a notch. But we ended up building a house that accommodated everyone. There was an event we had where we had 32 people in this house. The kids were all sleeping bagged along the basement floor. And, you know, there's pitter-patter of feet running through the house in the middle of the night as they're waking up, you know, because the anti-sleep. They're waking up and chasing each other and, you know, of course, drawing things on each other's faces mm-hmm. in the middle of the night. And we loved everything about it. It was everything we dreamed of. It was perfect. Couldn't have been more perfect. And all the kids really got along great. And we were boaters and his family's all boaters too. So they would come up and we'd take out all the kids skiing and all the adults would get a chance to ski. The kids were lucky enough to develop really strong relationships with their aunts and uncles through this too, which again, that was all it was to Keith and I. We wanted our kids to know the value of family. And I think we did a really good job showing them that. But then as time goes on, they go away to school and they find their own partners in life. And they move away from that a little bit. And all of a sudden, Keith and I found ourselves in an empty lake house. Mm-hmm. And the kids' activities, even the younger generation, they had football and baseball and gymnastics. And it just wasn't the same anymore. Mm-hmm.
All those empty rooms had a lot of echoing.
They did. And we would get visitors still, but it wasn't the same.
Yeah.
So we felt like that part of our life was kind of closing and we didn't see that happening, which I don't know why you don't see that happening. I guess you're too caught up in the moment. But we were okay with it too, because everybody was still happy and they were all going in amazing directions and all really turning into wonderful people, which is so great to see. So we thought, you know what, maybe during the winter season, we'll go and check out somewhere warmer. So we ended up finding Ave Maria and had one of those aha moments as we drove in. At the time, my husband was a really big road biker and I'm a runner. And every other place we visited before Ave Maria felt still too busy. And maybe a little, maybe not so safe for the bike riding that my husband did. He would do 80, 100 miles. So we rethought it and kept driving around and then came upon Ave Maria. And as we drove in, immediately both of us felt like this was the new place. This was the place for us. We loved everything about it. It wasn't quite developed yet. It's really out in the middle of nowhere. We laugh, we say, up north we had to drive 40 minutes to civilization. And here we also have to drive 40 minutes to civilization. Although it's getting better. We've been here about 5 years, a little over 5 years now. It is getting better. But so we tried it out for a while. And then we discovered that even when we went back in the summers, it was tough for family to come and see us. And our boys had both moved out of Wisconsin. And so we went back to yet another summer of empty lake house. with maybe a sporadic visitor here or there. And it just wasn't what we wanted anymore. And so we made the decision to put it up for sale and become full-time Florida residents. And at this point, Mark and I had already dabbled in songwriting long distance while I was gone over the winters or summers, sorry. And very quickly, the lyrics to, I want to say that I probably wrote the entire song in less than a day. Of course, as the time went on, I had to trim quite a bit off because I'm very wordy. And I'll tell you what, it is hard to get a whole story in 3 minutes. It is very hard.
Oh, your song can go longer than 3 minutes.
It can.
It is true. There is that whole editing process that does, it's difficult. It's very tough.
And especially for someone who really, at that point, I definitely felt like I didn't know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. I can tell a good story, sure, but can I tell it and have the people on the other side get it? That's tricky. Yeah. That's really tricky. You have to say things just the right way. And I feel like I'm getting better over the years. But there are some songs that pull you really into that emotion that only you can connect with. But I felt like We Are Happy Now was a subject a lot of people could really get because of that transition and because we all deserve that happiness throughout the entire thing.
What did Keith think of this song?
Keith loves it because it's his life too. So.
Have you played this for people around the pool?
You know what? This is a hot song for my friends, especially a lot of my Wisconsin transplants here.
So you're not a guitar player though?
I am not, but I'll tell you what, Steve, I have spent the last year trying to teach myself keyboard. I'm actually sitting at my keyboard right now.
Good.
Not reading music and understanding theory is a challenge, but I will tell you what, I have found that I can navigate enough with chords that I am also, I've started writing music by myself, playing chords on the piano. Now it's terrible. The music part is terrible, but it is enough fuel for me to find a melody and the words. So there's hope.
Yeah. Do you find the keyboard is easier to learn? Did you try learning guitar?
I did. And I have incredibly short fingers and I struggled with it. So
that doesn't really help with the keyboard either though. This is not something we need to actually argue over. If the keyboard works better for you, great. So many people go to guitar. So it's nice to see that someone's actually playing the keyboards because there isn't enough. I love the sound of a piano.
Me too.
And it's just wonderful. The thing about the piano that I also think with guitar is that you don't always need to know what you're playing if your fingers end up in the right place.
Yeah.
You know, you really don't. You look at some of these guitar chords that are, you know, open chords that just have this beautiful ring to it, and you don't know what you don't know what the name of that chord is, and you don't care. It just sounds good. The thing about the piano is you've got even more opportunity for that because you've really got 10 fingers and any number of notes there to play. Assume you've got, you know, your standards, you know, your chords and can find it out from there. I think learning piano is a higher learning curve than guitar.
Well, I feel like I feel like I can connect better with the piano. I don't know why. And yeah. I do a lot by ear. So I just move my fingers around until I find something that I like. And then from that one thing that I like, I try and build off like, okay, what does it sound if I go up? Okay, what does it sound like if I go down? It's a lot of experimenting.
Now, how are you recording this? How are you notating what you're playing?
Good question. I do a lot of it by memory. And when I feel like I've written probably 4 songs beginning to end, and I have them all in memory. As soon as I get them in memory, I have a little home studio. I have a Presonus Studio 26C box that I have all the chords hooked up. I can't tell you the technical names because I don't know them. Yeah. I've got everything hooked up, and I record it so that I have a basic recording of where I think it should be. And someday I hope to get a real piano player. to better support me musically for the melody and the song that I've written. But for now, it works. It works.
Well, I think you can play. I've never done this, but I think if you have a MIDI keyboard connected to a computer, you can play whatever you play is notated on the computer. So you actually can have manuscript music. Yeah.
Maybe so, Steve. I just don't know how to use that software yet.
I know. This is supposed to be an organic experience, not digital. Oh, too many computers.
My brain can only do so much, I've decided. But it is, I'll tell you what, there is so much to learn, and I love every part of it. I was lucky enough, Mark is an amazing guitarist and it's funny because his background is blues and rock. So him coming to my, I say, you play girl music now, you come to my side on the folk music, but it's really not, was an incredible change for him. But he did it so well, and he picked up on my vibe so well that alone was a super inspiration for me, is seeing how easy it was for him just to tune his ear and make the guitar speak that same language as my lyrics and my melody. So, I'm like, if he can do that, I can do it. I can do it. I just have to keep at it.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I hope you do keep at it. Marlo, thank you. I really appreciate having you on here. It's a lot of fun. Those of us who don't know, may not know, we are, these are all Zoom calls. So I get to see the faces of the people I'm interviewing. And I think Marlo's been smiling throughout this entire interview more than most people. And she obviously has got it together, and it's all well-deserved, and it's a wonderful, happy song. And we appreciate that. You can hear more of Marlo and Mark at marloandmark.com, right?
Yes.
And that's M-A-R-L-O, like Marlo Thomas, right?
Exactly.
Okay, Marlo, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. It's a lot of fun. And maybe I'll see you when I get down to that southern climate.
I hope so. And I really appreciate you having me on today. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. Thanks for listening to Song Creating on Radio St. Pete. If you like what you hear, you can find Song Creating on your favorite podcast app or at songcreating.com. To check out my own music, go to steverobb.com. And until next time, keep a song in your head and music in your heart. Thanks for listening.